He nodded again, reminding himself that this fight was only half over. The finely dressed halfling strode confidently around the wagons and into the light of the blazing campfire. He grinned back at the stupefied expressions of the two men. Of course they were shocked, since they had paid to have him murdered, and yet here he was. As he walked past the burly Yogur, Regis pulled his hand crossbow out from under his traveling cloak and shot the man in the face, then dropped the weapon. It jangled down by his legs, for he had tethered it to his belt. With a flick of his wrist, Regis tossed a small serpent at the groaning man. It bounced against his belly and magically caught there, then slithered up fast before the fool could begin to react. Yogur cried out, then began to gasp and choke, but Regis never looked at him. Regis just kept walking toward Kermelon, his rapier and dirk still in his belt. Kermelon grabbed a small log from near the fire and began shouting out, warning the halfling back. But Regis kept coming. He heard Yogur fall over behind him, thrashing and kicking. He heard others from the nearby wagons calling out, confused, but he kept his focus on Kermelon, who waved the log threateningly. Just as he stepped into range, just as the man began to swing, Regis activated his prism ring and warp-stepped past. Regis knew what to expect from it this time, and he leaped and twisted as he moved, spinning around. He landed just behind and to the side of Kermelon, and with his rapier in hand. He promptly stabbed up under the man's ear, puncturing the skin, but just barely.
"Kindly drop the log," he said.
And when Kermelon hesitated, he stabbed the rapier in a bit more.
"Oh, please, Sir Spider,"
Kermelon gasped, leaning over away from the pressing rapier tip.
"Kneel,"
Regis ordered, and Kermelon slumped to his knees. Regis looked past him then, to Yogur, who continued to thrash and kick and squirm for all his life, but to no avail. Others came into the firelight just as Yogur went straight out, his legs twitching in the spasms of death.
"Here now, what?"
another driver called to Regis and Kermelon. Others ran to Yogur.
"What's this all about then, little one?" another man demanded.
"Tell them,"
Regis said to Kermelon. The man said nothing.
"Tell them, or I will slide my blade into your head and explain my actions to them while I am wiping your brains off onto your shirt."
Drivers, passengers, and merchants from the marketplace alike began to gather, forming a wall around the small fire and the combatants.
"You best be talking," one demanded.
"Aye, and we best like your explaining,"
another added. Regis prodded his blade and Kermelon gave a little cry.
"Speak truthfully, and I will lobby for leniency," Regis said.
"I don't know,"
Kermelon started.
"Two dead across the way,"
announced a newcomer. A halfling dressed for the road and for battle, it seemed. He walked into the light, a trio of other halflings similarly adorned right behind him.
"Stuffings is dead in his tent,"
the halfling went on.
"Stuffings and the tall one. It would appear as if they tried to take advantage of a guest this night, and would I be right in assuming that we have that guest standing right before us?"
"Stuffings?"
Regis said.
"Stuff Antle Tinder Keg to any who cared,"
the halfling replied.
"Just stuffings to all the rest."
"Aye, he coaxed me into his lair with the promise of a bed and a bath, and on coin from these two."
He prodded a bit, and Kermelon yelped and leaned to the side.
"Do tell them."
"On your life, driver,"
the other halfling said, and he drew out a gleaming short sword.
We did, Kermelon babbled, "but not to kill him. No, just to rob. And this one."
He fell away as the rapier was withdrawn and turned back, poking a finger Regis's way.
"This one. All boasts an endless coin. Ah, but he's a rat, I tell you. Insufferable rat."
Regis laughed and snapped his rapier across, taking the man's poking finger before tucking it away in his belt as Kermelon curled up on the ground, howling in pain.
"Well, this one's dead," said a man over by Yogur.
"Three less murderers to worry about,"
Regis said, and he looked at Kermelon as he added,
"and likely soon to be four."
Some of the other drivers came in and grabbed up Kermelon and dragged him away. Such scenes were not uncommon in the markets around Borskaya Bridge, and the interest died away quickly, the onlookers moving off, some discussing which would inherit Kermelon's wagons and goods, while others, merchants, talking about the prime tent that would now be open if the one-eyed dwarf was really deceased. The quartet of halflings came over to Regis, though, the leader bowing before him gracefully.
"You handle yourself well, Master Topolino," he said.
"You know my name,"
Regis replied. He locked gazes with the halfling, while quietly lifting the hand crossbow and deftly slipping it away into his magical belt pouch.
"Knew it before we ever met you, though didn't know you wore it,"
the other replied. Regis looked at him curiously.
"Grandfather Pericolo," said one of the three behind him. "I have been to Delphuntle on many occasions and know him well."
"Ah, but where are my manners?" said the leader. "I know your name, but have not offered my own. I am Dorigardo of the Grinning Ponies."
He bowed low.
"The Grinning Ponies?"
Regis asked, trying not to laugh.
"Name for our mounts, and the year,"
answered the one who had claimed knowledge of the grandfather. Regis thought about it for a moment, then realized the reference to 1481, the year of the Grinning Halfling.
"And I am Showethal Terdiddy,"
the halfling went on.
"He rode with the Kneebreakers,"
Dorigardo explained, and Regis shrugged, not getting the reference.
"Ah, you've not been to the Bloodstone Lands, then," said Showethal.
"Impeltor once, but only for a season," Regis answered.
"If you ever return, venture to Damara, and know that you'll have friends in the famed Kneebreakers."
"Kneebreakers," the other two cheered, lifting their gloved fists into the air.
"We claim allegiance to that band, brothers in the cause," said Dorigardo.
"The cause?"
Dorigardo walked over and draped his hand comfortably on Regis's shoulder.
"You understand the dilemma of our people, of course, always thought of as thieves or worse, as children, but not the Kneebreakers, who ride the roads of Damara and neighboring Vasa. When they ride through, highwaymen cower in dark holes and townsfolk take note and cheer. Dorigardo spoke for you here, among the merchants who have come to know and trust the Grinning Ponies well in the first few months we have been together,"
added Showethal.
"And so your side of the story was not doubted."
"Because you're like the Kneebreakers,"
Regis reasoned.
"We ride the tradeway from Memnon to Waterdeep and east and back the length of Eltergard,"
Dorigardo explained. Regis looked at the group, one after another.
"All four?"
"11 of us,"
Dorigardo explained.